Pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to worship you today at your bidding. We come young and old, men and women, boys and girls, from many different situations and circumstances, but we come as one people united by the bond of Christ. And we come as one people to worship you, offering up the fruit of our lips in joyful praise, asking you to hear and answer our prayers as you have promised to do, and looking to you for instruction from your word. So bless us as we have come. Put aside the concerns of other days, that on this your day we might worship you and we might find rest and refreshment for our souls, so that as we go into a new week, we can go knowing that you go with us and that as you have promised, you will not fail us nor forsake us. So be with us, bless us, young and old alike, children and parents, singles and married, for we come in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading is found in two places in the New Testament. First, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and then in Ephesians chapter 6. Sermon title is a children's sermon. From time to time, I like to remind the children that when I preach or when Pastor Stephan preaches, we are preaching to all of God's children, and that includes adults. But there are times when I want to take particular note of our children as well and speak to you about what God's Word says about you and challenge you in your lives to look to the Lord Jesus for salvation, to follow the good example set by you, by other Christians, particularly your parents, and to pray for that day when the Lord might bless you with a spouse and with a family, because the last point I'm going to make to the children is that when it comes right down to it, you children are the guardians of future generations. We've been given time in our generation, each of us who live on this earth, to have input upon those around us, Christians for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the time comes, and sadly, we heard about Juliana's grandmother, who now is hearing that doctors are telling her that 3 months from now, and she's probably not going to be alive anymore, because she's an aged woman, and she has cancer that they're not going to be able to treat. We will pray for her. The Lord will give her many days yet, but we all do grow older, and the Scripture says we need to make the most of the opportunities that the Lord gives to us. So, thinking about children and speaking in a particular way to our children, but to all of us today, let's hear what Jesus says in Matthew 18, the first 6 verses, where it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea.'" And then in Ephesians chapter 6, really a pivotal short passage for parents and for children, the Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A children's sermon. It's a sermon to children, but also a sermon about children. And children, if you're excuse me, I have a terrible itch on the bottom of my foot. Children, don't do this in public. I'm going to leave that shoe off. That's probably going to be a first in my preaching experience. If you're smart, you'll look at Roman numeral 1 and say, well, about this much of the sermon applies to me, but then the big part in the middle seems to be talking to the adults. And you would be right to observe that. But there's a reason that I'm doing that, because we as adults often need to hear from God's Word very importantly and specially, and be reminded often that one of the great heritages that the Lord has given to the people of God is the next generation, our children and our grandchildren. And as I said, you are the guardians of the future. Well, we who are adults are the guardians of the present for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do, even as I call you children to be paying attention to what God says to you as well. I probably mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again, so humor me if you've heard this before, but over the years, and I'm now getting too close to 60, closer than I'd like to be, but over the years, I've gathered up various prized possessions, which are usually awards of one sort or another. And I'm going to risk violating, I'm not trying to, but I'm risk violating what we were talking about in the men's study yesterday morning, where we were talking about humility, to just take a minute to say that I could talk about letters that I got to put on a sweater when I was in high school for music and the band and for track. I haven't gotten many trophies, but I did get one when I was in Little League. I played right field, which meant I didn't play very much, and I don't think my batting average was very high, yet I was on the winning team, so I have this nice little trophy that one of my sons broke off. So now if I put it out on the mantle, the little platform's here, and the little man with baseball bats lying over on his side. There's a plaque or two along the way, and I'd like to talk about two of those plaques just for a moment. And this is where I'm probably repeating myself from times past. But these are, in many ways, when it comes to all of those different kinds of neat things that you get and you can stash away and show your children later on so that they know that you were once a child too. There are two plaques that are most special to me. And one is a plaque that I received back in 1973 when I would have been going into my sophomore year, or finishing my sophomore year of college, so about the same age as a few here. And it's a plaque from the Faultless Golf Ball Company acknowledging that I hit a ball off of a tee on a golf course that went into the hole on the first shot, called the Hole in One Award. And I think that's pretty special. It's falling apart, so it doesn't show well. But what that says is that on one shot, playing golf, I was almost perfect. It wasn't perfect because it bounced twice before it went in the hole. A couple of weeks ago on one of the channels, I saw a golfer hit the ball and it landed right in the hole on the fly. Now that would be really perfect, and it didn't bounce out either. So I'm quite proud of that. The thing I would say about humility is there is a lesson. There was one day in 1973 that I hit the perfect golf shot, and God has subsequently humbled me all of the rest of the rounds of golf ever since. The second plaque is a plaque that I received before moving to Colorado from the Presbytery of the Alleghenies, simply thanking and acknowledging work that I had done with the youth of that presbytery. And the reason I bring that up is, again, not to be bragging or anything else, but to remind you children that there was a time when I was a much younger pastor. There was a time when I could run faster, I could jump a little higher, and my hair was a little darker, my waistline was a little more slender, and I could keep up with the young people, and I still try to do that from time to time, but other than some of the more sedate things like golf and bowling, I'm lagging behind all of you. But there have been times in my life where I've been able to exhibit by my behavior as a pastor that value in children and in the Lord, that sometimes maybe you think I don't have that same concern anymore, but I do. It's just I'm getting older, and so I'm thankful for Pastor Stephan and for some of the other younger people that are about the age I was when I hit that infamous golf shot who are contributing to your growth in grace through ministry to you. But at 58 years old and as a father and a grandfather, I know all about the humility. God has humbled me in terms of ministry and in terms of parenting and grandparenting. It's about His grace, and yet I can look back and say the things that I'm going to preach to you today at this point are things that I can say have been important to me over the years from God's Word and have been proven through time to be words from God to help us grow in grace, to grow up in the Lord, and to live lives that will hopefully please Him so that we can then spend eternity with Him. And so I have these eight things for you children that I want to remind you about, what the Word of God says to you and about you. And then we'll also speak a little bit to your parents and to the other adults here. So I have these eight important things that the Bible says about our children and to you, our children. And the first is that you are a gift from God. We're not singing Psalm 127. We could have, but that third verse of that psalm says that you are the Lord's good gift. Psalm 113 reminds us that children are a blessing that comes from the Lord as well. And whether or not you always feel that, the Word of God says that you are a gift that God has given to your parents and has given to us. And don't ever forget that. Secondly, you are objects of the Lord's special concern. We read from Matthew 18. I'm going to make a few comments about that shortly. But if you were to turn over to chapter 19, Jesus says something very pointed there. When some children were brought to Him so that He might lay His hands on them and pray, the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said this. He said, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to Me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying His hands on them, He departed from there. Jesus says a number of things that should remind you, children, that He cares about you. And He cares about how you are cared for in the world as well. Thirdly, you need to understand that if you believe in Jesus, if you're thinking about Jesus, if you love Jesus, and one of the first things that our three sons were able to say as young children wasn't that I make a credible profession of faith and I understand the intricacies of blood atonement and I know that Jesus died for my sins, but they were able to say very early, "I love Jesus." And that's a profession of faith that is very significant as well. And if you can say that, you are especially special to the Lord. And in what we read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, it's for children like that, children who believe in Jesus, that He says anybody that would cause you to stumble or lead you away from the faith would be better off being cast into the sea with a millstone around their neck. And a millstone was a great big, you ever seen on a documentary or anything, these mules and things that are walking around, and there's this big flat round stone that's going around and around and around. That's what a millstone is, and it's big and it's heavy. And so if you get thrown into the sea with a millstone around your neck, that means you're being cast into everlasting destruction. That's how serious Jesus thinks about you children who say that I love Jesus and I put my trust in Him. Fourthly, you are illustrations for all of us. You are, first of all, illustrations of salvation. Jesus says, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, you need to become like a little child. And what does that mean? It means you have to come without anything of your own. You need to come not claiming any good things that you might do, but rather you need to come with a childlike faith and trust in Jesus, that He died for your sins and that He saved you. And it's not only children that need to do that, but remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? When he came to a night in John 3, and Jesus said, unless you're born again, in other words, unless you become a baby coming forth from your mother's womb, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So children teach those of us who are adults about salvation. We need to have childlike faith and trust in God and understand it's nothing about what we do or how good we are, but what God has done for us as our everlasting Father, that is really important. And you're also an illustration or a picture of the church. How did God speak about the Old Testament church, the nation of Israel? What were they often called? They were called the children of Israel. And who was their father? God was their father, Jehovah, the Lord above. The Apostle John understood that as well in his gospel in the first chapter, where he's talking about Jesus coming to his own as he entered the world. He said in verse 11, he came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become what? To become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, rather born of God. And so you are pictures also of the church. The church is the children of God. And no matter how old you are, if you are a part of the people of God, in God's sight, you are one of His beloved children. You're also pictures of the uniqueness and oneness of marriage. Back in Genesis chapter 2, when God created Eve out of Adam's rib, we have that wedding. We have that famous wedding verse, I guess we might call it, that first marriage of Adam and Eve. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that one flesh has many different ideas behind it. But one of the ways in which the wonderfulness and the purpose of marriage is realized is that when a father and a mother, a husband and a wife come together and bear children, that those children are the two of them in one flesh. I remember Pastor Hempel down in Westminster a long time ago saying something to the effect, I don't remember all of the sermon, but I remember the statement, and it was, do you all know that you wear your parents' jeans? And what he meant by that is, you children are the genetic makeup of each of your parents in one individual. And the children that the Lord might bless you with in years to come will be a oneness of you and your spouses as well. Seventhly, you children are of such concern that the Lord has said you are to be cared for, you are to be nurtured, you are to be trained in the things of God. And we read from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very important and classic passage where the Lord says to the Old Testament saints, this is what you need to do. You need to teach your children in the way that they should go. And how critically important was that? Did you notice that about halfway through what we all read aloud, that things went from pretty positive to pretty negative? And why would something so great as teaching our children about the Lord God, He is one, how might it go so negative so quickly? It's when we don't do what Deuteronomy 6 says that we are to do, that we don't care for and nurture and train our children in the things of God. And then finally, as I said, each one of us, until the Lord comes again, we have our time, we have our lives, we go through the various cycles of life that the Lord allows us to go through, some many, some not so many. And yet the reality is that a generation from now, it will be you who are the children that will be the guardians of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the extent that you grow in grace and you do learn these things and commit your lives to Christ and learn from your parents and your church school teachers and the preachers that you will hear over the years, to that extent you will be prepared for that blessed task of being involved in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's what the Psalms, particularly we think of Psalm 78 that we've already sung. What's the point of Psalm 78? The point is that we need to remember to teach our children well, because otherwise they're going to make the same mistakes that past generations have made. And so it's my job and my generation as your parents and their generation to teach you well and to call you to what Psalm 78 calls you, to not be like those who have made sins and not done the right things in the past, but be faithful in your generation. And in the name of Christ, children, I call you to that task. To hear that gospel, that blessed gospel of Jesus, claim it as your own, and serve Him all the days of your life. Some important things, special things for you, our children, and I didn't define what age level that I'm talking about there. But I'll say this, if you're sitting here with your parents, then I'm still specifically thinking that Roman numeral 1 of this sermon applies to you, but to all of us. But secondly, let's turn to the rest of the folks who are here, our parents and the other adults in the congregation. And I'm not maybe going to be quite so encouraging with them as perhaps I have been with you. There's plenty to be encouraged about. I'm thankful to say that as I am involved with this congregation, that I see parents and others who are concerned to serve the Lord and concerned for the welfare of their children and concerned for the ministry of the church. And yet I also, as a parent, who now all of our kids are gone, the things that we've been able to do with them for the most part, the investment we've been able to make in them is all invested. Now they're just afterthoughts. It's our grandchildren and their parents that we talk about. Our grandchildren have names, their parents, we forget those. But there are struggles. And the Lord's grace comes through many struggles that we have in the Christian life, and particularly struggles that we have in regards to our children. And it's not to beat us up, but rather to simply sound a trumpet of warning to us that I look to Roman numeral 2 in our outline. Moses, Deuteronomy 6, gives us warning that if we don't pay attention to our children, there will be trouble in days ahead. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 18. So how do we struggle in regards to our children? First of all, sometimes we fail to teach them. Education of our children is essential. I put the next phrase, the method is not simply to say that you parents and we adults in this congregation have a God-given responsibility to care for our children, to instruct our children. We do that in all kinds of ways, and none of those ways, as far as I can tell, are more godly than others. What I'm saying to you is that when it comes to schooling of your children, some of you have opted to do it at home. Some of you have opted to send your children off to Christian schools. Some of you have opted to send your children off to public schools. The Word of God does not specifically address those things. What it says is we are to teach our children. And whatever works for you with the gifts and talents you have as parents, you can do those things in various ways and accomplish what God calls you to accomplish. One of the points I would remind you, though, is that part of the teaching and part of the model that we see, Jesus taught, he was with those that he taught, his children. And I would just encourage you to, there are ways now that children can be reared and can be educated by just sitting them completely in front of a computer screen and going to do other things. And I don't think that that's the model that God wants for us. The interaction and the example and the I've been there that comes from parents and from other adults is a critical part of their education. Secondly, we fail to set biblical examples before our children. And I'll just remind you of something. I've said this over and over again, and if it's been 10 years since I said it, 10 years has not changed that it still is the case, and that is that children, apart from God's grace, or I probably should have said because of God's grace, they become like their parents. How many of your children said, I want to grow up to be anything else but my dad or my mom? I did that. Am I the only honest person to confess here? Now, there were many things that I saw with my mom and my dad. They were alcoholics, and there were other things, and there's much that I admired. But one of the things I determined was, I will not be like my dad. And then I went off to college and became just like my dad, spending time in the local taverns, overindulging in drink, doing all kinds of things that were wrong and were leading me astray. And it was at that time that God's grace came and claimed Marty Wilsey as one of his children, and he turned my life around. And it was from that point forward, because of his grace, that I did not do some of the bad things as a parent that my father had done before me. And don't get me wrong, I love my father. He was a good provider and everything else. But he had issues, as we all do. But you need to understand that parents, adults, that children learn from the example of those that they see and those that they are around. And that's why most often, children reflect and become like their parents. How many of you adults have ever said, oh my, I've become my mother? Or, oh my, I've become my father? That's the way that things work. Our examples are important. And we need to be careful. It's very easy to simply give the trite and the cliche kinds of answers to our children. When we say no and they say, why not? What's the easy answer? Because I said so. But sometimes we have to say more than that. Not always. There are times that I said, because I said so, and one of our sons in particular, he'll just be known as number three son. He's been here before with his own children, and he's getting just what we hoped he would. No, he was a good son. And yet, because I said so, just didn't cut it with him. And so it was question after question after question. And when you get into that, you need to come up with a better answer than because I said so. But you have to be really careful not to say to your children, do as I say, not as I do. And you say, well, I would never say that to my children. And you're right, I would never either, but I can think of many times where I required of my children things that I failed to do as a parent. And I look back and say, that was not what the Lord would have wanted me to do. And what we need to do is to bring out that old Harry Chapin album once in a while, and I'm bringing it out again today. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Harry Chapin I think he was probably a good father. At least he wrote a good song about parenting. But he died when he was very young. And the song that he wrote was called Cats in the Cradle. And it was a song about the fact that he grew up, or somebody grew up, always wanting the attention of his father, but his father was always too busy. His father was away on work. His father was doing this. His father was doing that. And the refrain of that song is, the son kept saying all the time he was growing up, I want to be like him. I want to grow up and be like him. And then in the last verse, when he's old and he's wanting his children to spend time with him, they don't have time for him because he didn't have time for his children. And now as an adult, all of a sudden they have no time for me. And the refrain, which is a negative refrain at the end of that song, is, He's grown up just like me. My boy is just like me. If you've not heard that song, Google it. I'm sure. What are those? I'm too old to know what I know about. I have heard of Twitter, and I know a little bit about Facebook. But there's, where do you go to see little videos of songs? YouTube. Okay. You go to YouTube, and Harry Chapin, his name's here, Cats in the Cradle. And listen to that song if you've never heard it. It's a sobering reminder of a biblical truth that we need to invest in our children. And at the end of our lives, we will see the fruits, rightly or wrongly, of whether we've done that or not. Thirdly, we struggle in regards to our children when we fail to deal with them biblically. And there are many things. I've just put a short list in here for your consideration. We don't make this book, the Bible, something that is central in our homes. It just gets put on a bookshelf. That's where it always sat when I grew up. There were three Bibles in the house that I knew about. Two were on a bookshelf. One was in a chest that I was not allowed to go into as a child. In other words, we don't make the Word of God a handbook and a tool and a guidebook and an instruction book as we deal with our children. Secondly, we don't pray regularly with them and for them. And it's critically important that we do that. Thirdly, we keep them from the worship and fellowship of the church. And that's a sad thing, to deprive our children of being able to be with God's people. And yet as parents, oftentimes we make decisions that lead us to be other places. We make decisions because of what might be working for us, and we fail to realize that when we don't come, our children don't come either. Fourthly, and this one is for the children as well, we fail to deal biblically by not setting biblical boundaries for our children. Rules, commandments, lines, boundaries, borders, grounding. A lot of these words are words that we might think cause children to shudder, and perhaps they do, but commandment is not a bad word. It's a biblical word. God gives rules. He gives commandments to his children, and he gives them, as he did in Deuteronomy 6, so that we will go in the right ways. And if we listen to him and follow his commandments, that's the road to blessing. Not to burdens, but to blessing. We also speak about authority. And authority is a biblical concept. And everybody, including me as pastor and as an elder in the church, are under the authority of others. And we are all under, ultimately, the authority of Christ, and authority is a right and a biblical idea, and the authority of a parent over the child is a wonderful biblical treasure, because parents have that authority to raise those children, because parents have been there, parents understand, parents have learned the realities of life, and hopefully have common sense given from God to protect their children. And the rules, the commandments, are for our welfare and our blessing and our protection. And we're all under authority. And children, you are under the authority of your parents. even as they are under the authority of Jesus Christ himself. But I would encourage you, as we think about setting boundaries, there's two extremes. Either you're going to set too many boundaries, and if you do that, your children are going to be stifled, or you're going to set no boundaries, and if you do that, your children are going to be stifled. We need to find that middle ground and those boundaries that God's Word gives to us. And I might find a Bible verse to look at this at 4C here, C4C under Roman numeral 2. But I'll simply say this is a practical truth that I have found to be correct. Children need to hear a balanced and biblical dose of two critically important words. Any idea what they are? Yes and no. And Ephesians 6:4 says, don't exasperate your children. There are two ways to do that, to say no too much or to say yes too much. And in either case, you will end up with children that struggle and have issues. And it's important to understand that there is a balance, to show them that you trust them and allow them to do things, as well as to say no because you are protecting them. And we need to find that balance, and each of us in our own ways need to do that. And so we fail to deal with our children biblically. But something even more of a concern to me is that sometimes we deal with our children wrongly or unbiblically, but we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, that happens far too often and is a more sinister thing. It's to those who would take authority and misuse it that Jesus says, woe, woe, woe. The leaders of the Jews, woe, woe, woe. The shepherds of the Old Testament, those in authority cannot, in the name of that God-given authority, do things that are wrong. And yet, those things do happen. And they happen, first of all, when we apply the law of God without grace, or we apply the grace of God without any respect for his law. They happen when we, in the name of Christ, misuse the biblical authority. That's what is called tyranny. And too often in the church, there are leaders who are tyrants. In homes, there are leaders who are tyrants. In the workplace, there are leaders who are tyrants. And it's wrong. And to do that and to say, I'm doing it because God's word commands me to be this way, is heinous in the sight of the Lord as well. Thirdly, we fail to let our children be children oftentimes. And one of the errors is to expect too much of them, sometimes for how old they are, or to give them too much responsibility. Great. Again, the word balance, we're going to end up with balance at the end of this sermon, is an important thing. But we need to let our children be children instead of small adults. But we also sometimes fail to train our children to become responsible adults. And we do that sometimes by not giving them any responsibility and not teaching them and give them tools in order to grow up and to assume the responsibilities that they need to have in adult life. And I would simply say, if you want to be guilty of D4, what will happen is that you will have a child that's still living in your basement bedroom when he's 30. It's usually he, but there are probably some she's as well, when he's 30 years old. That's not, it's not wrong to live with your parents, don't get me wrong, but I've seen very few well-adjusted 30-year-olds living with mom at home still. So in closing, these four words. First of all, to the adults here, parents and others who have roles as examples and as teachers and as mentors for our children, just remember that you reflect to our children on our Heavenly Father. How do children learn what a father is like? How do children learn what a mother is like? It's from our examples. And like it or not, there's an association with God, our Heavenly Father, that ties to the adults. And we need to heed Ephesians 6:4 and not exasperate our children. And to children, just up ahead of Ephesians 6:4, the apostle says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you need to do that, and you especially need to do that out of love for them, knowing of their love for you. And as I said earlier, I'll just repeat again, that unclear lines and inconsistent applications, in other words, you make rules and then you don't enforce them, you're going to exasperate your children. You don't make any rules and then you lower the boom on them, you're going to exasperate your children. There needs to be consistency, and the best way to have that consistency is to look to the Word of God and say, here are the principles that God has given to us to trust Him, to humbly and as capably as you can to raise your children in the Lord out of love for them and trust God to bless those efforts. And then finally, balance is a most important word. Balance needs to be in place in our view of God. In other words, if you're going to deal rightly with your children, you need to understand that God is our Heavenly Father, and He's a loving parent, but God is also the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that we bow down before in worship. And there has to be a balance between those two things if we're to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. Our understanding of Scripture is molded by that as well. How do you view God? Is God your loving Heavenly Father, Abba Father, or is He the unreachable, untouchable, holy other being that you prostrate yourself before and tremble before? He's both. And the Christian life is a balance between both of those conceptions of God and of His Word. Is His Word there to lay down the law so that we better do these things lest we perish? Or is His Word there to say, come to Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, and you will find comfort for your souls. Balance is important in our lives and in our relationships with others. And that's probably the key nugget that I would have for all of us as we think about this children's sermon. For children and for adults, we need to maintain these right balances of yes and of no, of law and of grace, of justice and of mercy. And there are other words that we could use as well. So let's, children, take to heed these words, and let us as adults do the same. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for blessing us and for putting each of us in families where we can be loved and we can be nurtured and cared for. We pray that You will continue to help us in our families and in our family of faith in this congregation to be faithful to You, to be able to tread that right balance so that we will know when we need to say no and when we need to say yes, to know when we need to show mercy and when we need to show sternness, to exercise authority as those under authority out of love and out of concern and with sacrifice for those over whom we have been given oversight. And so we pray for our parents and for our fathers as well as our mothers, that You will bless them and strengthen them, give them wisdom and encouragement as they are about the task of raising children for the Lord. And we pray that You will help all of us to be regularly in prayer for our children, that they might know You, might know the treasures of the gospel and the peace that comes in belonging to Jesus Christ. So, Lord, hear these our prayers. Continue to build us up. We pray for those who might be struggling in some ways with any of these things, that You will give them guidance and direction and help. And we pray to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.